Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, this is George. You're about to listen to a bonus episode of Pod on the Tyne, which was originally broadcast on our Extra Tyne service, celebrating a very special man and his very special charitable foundation. I've been training for the London Marathon to help raise funds for the Alan Shearer Foundation. Sadly, after 3 and a bit months of very hard work and lots of sweat, I've got to the blood and tears a bit prematurely because I've been in and out of hospital over the past couple of weeks for x-rays and assessments and treatment, and it turns out I sustained severe ligament damage in my left foot while running. So with a great deal of reluctance, gnashing of teeth, wailing, great upset, I've had to defer until next year, and to say I'm devastated is putting it very mildly. To everybody who sponsored me, thank you so much. That money will be used, that support is hugely appreciated, and come what may, I promise to be fulfilling my side of the bargain next year. As it happens, producer Ollie, who was also supposed to be running this weekend, has been forced to pull out with injury. This does feel very Newcastle United. Welcome to Crocs on the Tyne. Anyway, during my preparations, I went to the Alan Shearer Centre to speak to the great man about the incredible work it does. Hope you enjoy it. This is the kind of thing we love doing for our subscribers. For more information on that, to listen to other documentaries, to Q&As, much else, please visit podonthetyne.supportingcast.fm and please consider supporting Alan's charity. Thank you. The Premier League is the UK's most illustrious sporting competition. It dominates everything. Coverage, conversation, money. However you feel about modern football, it is the envy of every other nation that plays the game. Yet despite attracting the cream of the world's footballing talent, its most prolific striker, perhaps its greatest ever player, is a local lad. He hails from Gosforth, and he played for Newcastle United.
Shearer! Many centre forwards around who can really hit the ball with that sort of pace, that sort of accuracy.
Alan Shearer was both a great goal scorer and a scorer of great goals.
It's another one now. Yes, Shearer, of course.
Oh, fantastic hit from Alan Shearer.
But he was known as much for toughness as his footballing prowess.
I don't know why, but Keane threw the ball at Shearer.
He gave no quarter on the pitch. Even now, as a broadcaster, he is a no-nonsense, straight talker.
Seriously, what has happened to the game that they don't want to re-referee? Howard Webb, you're in charge. Tell us what has happened to those three things.
If you've listened to his previous appearances on this show, you will know that Alan has a wicked sense of humour. But there are times when you do wonder if he wasn't so much born as chiselled from rock. But there is another side to this great granite man and a different story to tell about him. After raising £1.6 million from his testimonial match in 2006, the year he retired as a player, he used that money to help transform the lives of people in the region that had moulded him. 20 years on, the Alan Shearer Centre and the foundation behind it continues to provide an invaluable service to children with disabilities, to their families, as well as long-term care and accommodation for adults with complex needs. It provides a safe haven, a place of refuge, an oasis of calm away from the stresses of challenging lives. For Alan, it represents both a remarkable legacy and a huge part of the man he really is. This is Pod on the Tyne Extra Time. My name is George Culkin. I've been in training to run the London Marathon for Allen's Foundation. And a few weeks ago, on a beautiful March morning, the day after Newcastle had beaten Manchester United at St James's Park, Allen guided me around the centre, which bears his name. The sun is shining and the birds are tweeting. Can't believe we've got this fireball in the sky after this winter. What a beautiful morning. Here I am with this legend in front of me, and we're outside the Alan Shearer Centre. Tell me, please, first of all, what it is we're looking at out here.
Well, we're looking at something incredibly special, something that means so much to me and to my family. When you leave football, you've left. You can't play football ever again. This place is here forever, and that, I think, is the most important part, other than seeing how many people use it and how many people love it and enjoy it and cherish it.
You've gone very deep very early, because literally I'm asking you what it is we're looking at. And we're looking at this kind of beautiful playground in front of this building here. Can you just talk a bit about some of the facilities we've got outside?
Well, we're looking out onto the garden, which is also a woodland walk around it. I mean, I'm not into my trees, but that tree looks to me as if it's a lot older than you are. You're pretty old. But all the activities and all the swings and climbing frames and everything else that this was meant to be outside, because I think during COVID, what happened was is that, like many people, we realised how beautiful outside is.
Yeah.
And then we decided to go bring it bigger and better with the help of so many people in terms of helping pay for it. But on a day like this, you realise how important it is to have this outside, and very rarely do you come. I mean, there's no one on it today. I was about to say very rarely do you come and not see any kids on here. But
the sunshine has surprised all of us.
Yeah, that is very true, yeah. So when it's been the wettest, darkest winter I can remember in my lifetime, is to be stood here on a day like this where it's actually beautiful and there's no kids outside. But that's what this outside is. Yeah, it is amazing, yeah.
All right, so let's turn towards the building itself.
Mm.
Tell me what the big idea behind the Alan Shearer Centre and the foundation is. What's the big picture? What is it here to do? Who is it here to serve?
I came here in 2006 when it was just a derelict, cold, run-down building, if you like. My testimonial committee, Mike Brown and a few others, now Brown's Cafe in there, and that's through Mike, and they sort of sold this dream to me, I think, of this is what it could be, this is how it would run, this is what we feel, how many people would get benefit from it, etc., etc. And I haven't got a picture. I find it hard to picture these things in 5 or 10 years' time, you know?
Yeah, also to look at things in three dimensions. I'm the same as you.
Yeah, I struggle to do that. But these guys, anyway, they went, nope, this is what it could be, and this is what it will be, with the help of you donating all the funds that were raised for the testimonial. This is it now. I mean, that was like 20 years ago. And if you think, I was a professional footballer for 18 years.
Yeah.
So I've actually been involved in this now longer than I have in professional football, which is mad when you think about it. But this is what this building is. This beautiful old, or what it was, derelict building is now very, very important to so many people. I mean, we've just seen we've got 10,000 members now of this place, and they tell me it's going up 2,500 a year, which is why the running costs keep getting more expensive. Everything else is more expensive. It used to be 250 grand to keep it going and give it away for free every year. Now it's gone up to 320 grand a year, which we have to raise to give it away for free. So,
and who are you giving it away to?
We're giving it away to all the parents and kids with a disability. And as we speak, look, there's more and more coming in and arriving and using it. Obviously, school time is kicking in. So yeah, that's who it
is.
Morning.
Hi.
Morning.
Hiya.
What a lovely day.
Absolutely.
And we beat Man United last night.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and you have a nice day. Thank you. Good. People, that's what it's for. When
is it all right once I sign the kids, and if we get a picture with you and the kids?
Of course it is. No problem at all. Yeah, absolutely, no problem. Thank you.
But what is it that makes this centre important? What is it that makes it unique? You said it's kind of kids, it's kids with disabilities. But why aren't they being helped elsewhere? Why aren't they being served?
Because there isn't anything like this. There isn't. I mean, if you speak to all the parents, all the teachers that bring them here, there isn't anywhere like it. There isn't. We have a hydrotherapy pool, or the music rooms, or the sensory rooms, or whatever it is. There isn't anywhere like that that has all of this on site.
And it's giving those kids and parents respite. That's a big part of it, isn't it? But it's also giving them
stimulation, and also I think it's part of them coming and feeling normal, and being in a happy place.
Show daddies and mummies.
Hello. Great. You get your picture.
Hello. She's a bit nippy and grabby.
No problem
at
all.
Stand next to me.
Sorry.
No problem.
Bobby, do you want to picture show daddy? Not with Hollywood.
Get the kids in. The kids are more.
There you go. How are you doing?
Say hi.
No.
Okay.
Is that enough?
Take a blue Peter.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. Take a blue Peter cap.
Come on, we'll get a picture.
Bob,
come on. Good lad.
Come on, smile.
Smile.
Ah, well done.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much.
I could sit up, Maya.
Yeah, I know.
Can I just say, my dad's favourite day is my birthday, because you were like Newcastle the day I was born.
Really?
7th of August, 1996.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is one of his favourite days.
I had a bit more hair back then as well, you know that. Perfect. Yeah, I guess also it's for them to come and be normal, be amongst people who want to help them, want to give them a bit of respite and a bit of fun, I guess. That's the most pleasing thing for me is that when I come here is to see how happy people are here.
All right, so should we do a tour?
Let's go in. Why not?
I love this reception area. You kind of walk through the doors. It's a very grand building, but immediately you're sort of confronted with colour. There's kind of brightly different colours.
Yeah, I mean, when I first came here, this obviously wall wasn't here. You can tell, and when you look up at all the ceilings and how sort of old it was. I mean, this is all, I guess, relatively new and was built on. But yeah, it's. I think it's light and it's. I think it's welcoming.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And this is what I was on about here, Brown's Cafe. This is named after Mike Brown, one of the first guys that was with me and came here and is still on board with us now. He's one of our sponsors, been with us from day one.
It's a lovely cafe. I mean, the thing that you often don't perhaps think about is sort of the carers, the people who, take it upon themselves to look after kids. It can be very, very difficult. One of the things I love about this is that it gives those people respite as well, and a chance to sit down and have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and a chat and take a breather too.
Yeah, I mean, we all love a coffee. We all love a cup of tea. I mean, everyone does it. So, and this is the place where they can. And as you can see, it doesn't matter whether they spill food or spilled coffee or tea. It's very hardy, so they can do that, you know. But I think through the cafe is possibly the most important or the most used thing is the hydrotherapy pool when you go through the
Should
the
we
cafe.
Go through?
Have you been in there?
Yeah.
You've been in there? Can we have? Can we go in? Oh, just, is anyone in?
No.
Oh.
Oh, get hit by that wave.
Yeah, hit by the heat.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is great in there. You can see it's been done right, you know.
Yeah.
And it the cost, because it's not just putting the pool in, it's not just putting the tiles and everything else. It's everything that goes with it, the heavy lifting equipment and everything that goes around to lift certain children or people into the pool, you know. So, unfortunately, we've only got one of these at the minute. But that's the big plan. Is that because it's so used, and everyone loves it, and everyone will tell you this is possibly one of the most important rooms because of how much it's used. to get in here, you unfortunately you have to book in months in advance.
Right. Yeah.
So I came up with a bright idea about 5 months ago as well. If it's that used that much, then we need to build another one.
Wow.
But to build another one, it costs, and we need another somewhere else to build it, which hopefully we're getting permission, which is just at the back of this one.
That's exciting.
But we need to raise £1 million.
£1 million?
Mm, just like that.
Wow, okay.
So, but it's because of the demand and how much everyone loves it that, and I said, let's do it.
What is it about, I've got this, I think we probably all have this same feeling, but like that feeling of being in warm water, and I've been in here before and the kind of, the jets are going, yeah. And it's just that kind of beautiful sensory feeling where you can float and have fun.
I guess they feel free as well. Yeah. Also, I'm the same. I mean, who doesn't like a good old soak in the bath or whatever it is? I do. I love it myself. So I guess for the people that use this, it's that relaxing feeling, that feeling of being free. And they just, that's why they love it.
Yeah, gorgeous. Okay, well, you don't make life easy for yourself, but beautiful. Well, we'll talk more about that.
Hello.
Yeah.
Have you just arrived?
We have.
I thought so. Well, when we went in there, there was no one in here.
Do you know who this is, Harvey? Football fan, you'll know who it is.
Really? Newcastle? Yes.
Oh,
love it. Did you watch it last night? You not see us win last night? No. Well, we won.
Get it.
At last. We'll see you in a minute, guys.
I kind of love the feeling around here that you're, I mean, obviously you're Alan, but you're also Alan Shearer. But I think you're more Alan than Alan Shearer.
No, I think I love that. I do. Excuse my language, but they just don't give a shit who I am,
no.
Do they? And I love that. I think that's one of the best parts about it. Is
you can't get that very often anymore.
No, which is, I can't get that anywhere in Newcastle.
Yeah.
I'm playing the music. Maybe in London I can get a little bit of freedom, but Newcastle is very difficult to just be Alan, which is fine. It's what I wanted when I was a kid, but it's very different being Alan in this place rather than Alan Shearer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them haven't got a clue where I am, which is great. Some of them have. It's nice just to be. I don't know, I don't like the word use normal, but it is nice to be the same as everyone else,
I guess. Funny, because we're talking about people coming here and getting respite and kids getting respite, in that strange way it kind of gives you a bit of respite.
It gives me great energy, I think, coming here.
And
I can just be, normal, I guess. I guess I can just walk around and no one cares who I am, and there's no one, can I have an autograph or whatever it is, and pictures, it's different. It has a different feeling for me coming here than anywhere else. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
This is called the cave. The kids just run riot in here.
There's a lot of kind of flashing lights and colours. It is like a more enclosed space.
Yeah.
And what is this? It's sort of sensory.
It's like a sensory, equipment. I guess what we'll see when we walk around is just flashing lights, which they tend, or a lot of the children, enjoy that and like that. They can bash things, they can do whatever, I'm thinking some of the mats and some of the touches and everything else.
Oh yes,
a lot of it's bright lights and colours and touches and everything else that you see in walking through the cave. Yeah, so this is one of the busiest rooms as well, I guess, to walk through. And there's a cinema room, isn't there, just around the corner?
Stuff, loads of stuff to sort of touch and tactile.
Touch and feel and bash and
hear,
do.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. To hang on to and music bits and everything else, I guess, yeah.
God, you get a headache. We've come here as the centre's opening, really.
It is, yeah. It's just starting to get some activity going with all the because I guess the schools, they get into the schools, I guess, it's at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then by the time they get them here, yeah.
Yeah, I love this. There's lots of stuff to play with.
Music room.
Oh, okay. This is quiet.
Yeah. But you can see the cost of why everything is, because everything is, you can see it all around, and then you've got the video equipment, and then that projects it onto the walls and everything else. So.
Yeah, this is really nice. We've got a rotating screen there, which has got farmyard animals and fruit on it, a nail. You're not going to come in this room and be bored, are you?
God, no, there's plenty of activity, isn't there?
You would prefer probably to. Can you give me a tune on the piano?
I definitely can't. Can you play the piano?
No, I'm afraid not.
And again, look, you've got the touching things there. It's when you touch on the thing and then the bright lights
and they,
come up.
And so. And the guitar.
New guitar player?
I mean, that's what I wanted to be when I was growing up.
Did you?
A music star, yeah. I was only let down by my absolute lack of talent. I've got a guitar. I've not played it for a while, but
yeah, so
every space is filled, isn't it? There's something.
And they've just obviously stopped the go through into there because I thought you could get through there, but they've put something in there. So
yeah.
Nothing in there.
Books, children's books.
Back into the reception.
Yeah.
Check whether anyone's in the immersive room.
Immersive room.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Stay in there, it's fine.
Our teacher's busy stalking you.
Why? Alright, she's just. Alright, is that like she just walked past?
She's hugging
you. Yeah. Alright, okay, yeah, yeah.
She's got a good stalking.
Alright.
So, what's this room?
The immersive room. Do you like it in here?
Yeah.
Yeah? Just chill and relax.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And sitting on that settee.
So, what have we got in here? We've got walls that
I don't know how to say it, but you can put anything on here, literally anything.
So we've got three walls, and it's basically showing a sort of farm kind of scene. It's a beautiful view over mountains and fields. We can see there's a sheep wandering past, and we've seen cows and things like that. And of course, they're all making the sound around, which is surrounding us. God, this is beautiful. It's sort of like a three-dimensional experience. And then there's a chair in the middle, which has got goldfish on. It's not quite not quite.
I could actually just go in there and fall asleep myself in that chair.
Gosh, this is... You put smells on?
Yeah, there's a scent thing as well.
There's a scent thing. I'm not sure if I'd want a farmyard scent.
Look at all that. It's like Gran's kitchen
Wow.
It's like a Atlee, Sydney kind of...
And so... And this is like calming, sort of...
Fantastic for her. She'll spend the whole hour just here.
Really? Is that how long you've got in an hour? You come for an hour, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We have an hour slot.
Right.
This will just be her.
Moo!
She comes over stimulated very, very quickly.
Right.
So this is lovely for her.
Oh, you want us to go?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fair enough. Get out. Leave me alone.
We get the message. Can I just ask how important this place is for you?
Oh.
Yeah.
So we were just saying we could do one of these in school.
Yeah.
Right.
So many kids would benefit from this.
We use accommodation centre, so we use the Tim Lam Centre over on, like the Benton Way.
Right.
And we use a place called Seven Olivia's, which is a Cromerton, the Northburn Centre at Cromerton.
Right.
So we use a combination of like soft plays and sensory rooms and stuff like that.
Mm.
Especially with these kids.
Yeah.
These kids are a bit bigger, aren't they? So this is better for them. She's got here.
And how often does she come here?
Every week.
Okay. Brilliant.
So every Thursday we'll call them.
Good.
The boys may want to be outside in the park. Mm. Somebody else may want to go for a little walk in the woodland area.
Yeah.
So there's so much choice for them.
Yeah.
And there's a cafe.
Yeah.
It's a cafe.
Which is always a selling point.
Yeah. For a coffee.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right.
We'll leave you to it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye. God, that's amazing.
Nice. And we go through into the next part.
Oh yeah, so again, I love this, like you walk down these corridors, there's something on every wall to touch or feel as you're walking past.
Oh, it's fine. Stay in there, it's fine. I was only showing people around, sorry. Waterbed.
The lilac room with a waterbed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, and more stuff on the walls. There's like a water kind of feature on the wall. We've got a glitter ball projecting, lights on the ceiling.
And again, you have to, with all the equipment, what you need is a carrying equipment to lift some of the children on, which is obviously the expense of it.
Of course. Yeah, every room is accessible.
Every room has to have them, yeah, so. Yeah.
There's just something on every single surface, isn't there? Oh, there's a mirror. That's not what I want to look at.
Quiet space.
A quiet space, yeah, kind of.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Padded floor and padded walls, and just our individual members can keep calm and self-regulate in a brand new quiet space. Because there's a lot going on. And
there's
a lot going on. You can see why you could get...
There's a gaming room through there, but I haven't got a pass to get through.
All right,
so.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. Which is all the computer equipment for the kids and the games and what have you.
Oh, so they've got all that stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff as well.
Amazing. What a place, eh?
Yeah, gorgeous. Light and airy and happy. Sorry. Filling up now.
Oh, wrong way.
Sorry.
No, I got you in the wrong pram, Theo. Sorry.
Pasta.
You were
the wrong pram.
Thank you.
No, we're in the wrong prams.
It's a very happy place, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think that's definitely what it is, yeah.
Right.
Do you want to sit outside?
Sit outside, yeah. Pretend it's Spain.
Why not? Whoa, it's what you do to me. Oh. What's happened there? Oh, the mic's come off.
All right. That way around. Hang on, let me just get it there. Let's get there. There we go. I mean, so it's 20 years since you retired. It's 20 years since this place started. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, in terms of your own life. And
it's quite all right.
It's,
if you don't ask, you won't get.
Wait, exactly. Shy Ben's getting out.
Exactly.
He's ready, lasses.
Do you want me to do it for you?
Oh, that'll be perfect. I don't know if I need to slip.
Right.
Thank you so much.
I think you should face this way because the sun will be...
Oh, he's an expert in photography now, look.
You'd be squinting a bit, but... A bit closer, we'll do a portrait. One. All right.
Thank you.
No problem, thank you.
Can you believe it's been 20 years?
God, it's not really, no. It's just going so quickly. But it just doesn't happen with me, you know. I need the help of so many other people.
Yeah.
Which is hugely important. I guess I had some great teammates over the years, but I think what's happened when I left football, I've got some amazing teammates who've helped me massively to keep this place going the way it is.
Does it help you? I mean, having that thing, I know that you've talked before about being able to kind of go from one dressing room to another in terms of finishing playing and then match of the day and that side of your life. But having something like this, having that responsibility almost, having that network in your life, having lost football, has it been important to you in that?
Yeah,
in those
hugely,
terms?
Yeah. I also think it makes me level, if you know what I mean, because to come up here and see everyone and see how happy they are, and it gives me a huge... I mean, I'll never get the buzz clearly that I had when I scored a goal, but... The buzz I get from coming up here when I see everyone and how they use it and how they enjoy it and their words to me, that gives me a great kick. And that I think sort of helps motivate me to go, right, another year. It is time consuming, but that's fine, because whenever I ask someone to do me a favour, then inevitably I've got to give a favour back.
Yeah.
And I'm always asking favours of people to help me, whether it's to donate, whether it's an auction prize, whether it's someone giving their time to come and perform at the ball. I mean, when you think of it, we've had some unbelievable, I mean, world superstars come and perform in Newcastle for free, which is amazing. And when you go through the artists that we've had and the money that we raise on that one Saturday throughout the years, like, it's incredible. It's insane for Newcastle.
You've also got a lot of people who are sort of, you know, pulling on a pair of running shoes for the first time in their lives and raising money for you that way.
Well, you are what I just said about before. When I moved out of the dressing room, then I guess I've got other teammates. And without you and without all the other people who kindly do what they do and help donate, then this place wouldn't be. It wouldn't just work with me. I couldn't do it.
No, of course. But, like, obviously I'm... In spite of the joke you made earlier, I'm the same age as you, and I know you, and you know, you're one of my heroes, playing for Newcastle United on the pitch and things like that. So my involvement is sort of not surprising. But I wondered how you feel, sort of 20 years on, or 30 years since joining Newcastle, 20 years on from retiring, people who might not have seen you play, but still being inspired by you and, you know, your famous goal celebration, it's all over the beautiful kind of running shirt, it's all over the centre here. But you still have that impact? Does that, I mean, it's a kind of strange feeling? Or
And I think it also motivates you to go again, because it's, I guess it would be easy to say, well, okay, I don't have to do it, and it would be less hassle, and there wouldn't be as much pressure on me to try and help run this place. But I could never... I knew from the moment that I signed up to do this that it was a life thing. You know, I couldn't. How can you ever walk away from here? How can you walk away from the happiness when you see all the kids come and use it, and the teachers or the parents that bring them here? How could you ever lose that or walk away from that? So I knew it was a life thing.
Do you think about legacy?
Yeah, I do. I think it's important to me. Particularly here in Newcastle, because where I'm from. I mean, I was born 2 or 3 miles from here. To have this in my city, where I was born, is extra special. And I think then to have that legacy and to have this in the way it is and the way it's run is very special here.
So you sort of said a bit earlier, the people who use this facility, they don't pay, it's free. Now, that is quite an undertaking for you and the foundation and the centre itself. You said at the start it was something like 250 grand a year just to keep the doors open effectively, to allow people to kind of come in, and it's gone up now. I mean, that's a big pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a huge pressure, yeah. It's a big pressure, and it's tough at times, because a lot of the time I'm asking the same people, and the same people are incredibly generous. We have 9K sponsors who give us 9 grand a year, basically, to help keep this open. There's a lot of them been on from day one, you know, with me. There's so many people who make one-off donation payments. Sir Graham Wiley gives me his golf course for a day, which is an unbelievable gesture to go on and have a golf day, and the food and the drinks and everything else that goes with that. So, it is a big pressure, and I have to lean on so many people to help me, and you're one of them. No, but it doesn't. When you laugh, you are.
Well, I'm laughing because
if there wasn't people like you, or there wasn't people like Graham, and or, I mean, I know Graham's incredibly generous, but Rob Armstrong gives me his box every year, which just like that, we raise 40 grand.
Yeah.
With him saying you can have my box for a game. So it doesn't matter whether you raise 500 quid or 40 grand or 150 grand. It's like, without everyone doing the same thing and being on the same page, it doesn't happen. When we raised that 1.6 million in 2006, then I knew straight away that what I was about to take on, you know.
And said inside that, you know, you're actually making life more difficult for yourself, because you've got this big project this year to effectively double the space for the kind of hydrotherapy pool thing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was up here maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and I was talking with all the staff who helped run this place, and we were talking about the hydrotherapy pool and everything else, and it was like how important that is and how many people actually use it. And then it was then I thought, well, we either build a bigger one so we can get more people in there, or we build another one. And I guess I've always been ambitious, so why not? If you don't aim high, then you're never going to get there, are you?
Yeah, I guess that's true. So 100% not making this about me, but like the reason I'm running the London Marathon for the foundation, well, I mean, there's a few reasons, one of which is my absolute devotion and love of you. But I came here a few years ago, you showed me around, I did a written piece for The Athletic, and I sort of wanted to try and use this place as a way of finding out more about you, you know, this big tough guy that I'd watched mm-hmm. play football, that perhaps is not the most emotional person outwardly, and you know, whether I could sort of get beneath your skin.
And you did, didn't you?
I think I did a little bit, and obviously since then we've worked very closely together, and I'm very proud to call you my friend. Anyway, and you know, I kind of made a promise, which I'm sure you'd forgotten, that I wanted to do something, to run a marathon, and then I finally kind of got in. So let me ask you the same sort of question that I asked you back then. Who are you?
I don't know, I guess my answer to that is a kid who wanted to play football and who's done all right and wants to give a little bit back. Cares what people think. Cares in what I do. And I take great joy from other people's joy. I think that's who I am.
Are you a big softie at heart?
I can be, yeah. Sometimes.
Tell me.
Sometimes. Yeah, you've seen that side to me. We sat in the garden when my dad passed away, didn't we? And you've seen another side to me, I guess. But it's nice. It's always, I think it's nice to give back. Because I've been extremely lucky. I mean, you've heard all this before, but I live my dream and not everyone can do that. So it's nice to give a little bit back. And when I say the pressure of trying to get money to run this place or help keep run it, then it's not really pressure, is it, when you see some of the joys that people have around here? That I guess that's the hard graft, whereas I just kicked the ball around and loved it.
You've told me before that you brought your family here, that you brought your kids here. I know it's a family affair for you all, but you also use that as a grounding mechanism for them as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's always important to realise how lucky I am and how lucky we are. But then I don't want to say that no one else is lucky, you know, but some folk have it harder than others. We're fortunate enough that we've had a really good life, and that's part of the reason why I want to try and give as much back as we can. Not that I have to, because I think my kids have all been very grounded in what they do and what they say. But I think sometimes this place is a gentle reminder of that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Do you, when you look back on your kind of life and career, you know, talk about 30 years since you joined Newcastle, 20 years since you stopped playing, this place is as important to you as all those goals you scored, right?
And yeah.
I mean, you know, that you're very visible. You're visible because you're on television and you're on the radio. You're very visible because of all the records you hold. There's a statue of you, for God's sake, outside St. James's Park, and you're very much alive, which is kind of quite unusual. But this is as important to you, isn't it?
I think this is the best statue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's nice. I'm incredibly proud to have that, and every time I drive past it, which is on a regular basis, I love it. But yeah, this place is—it's just different. It's just has an amazing feel to it. It's just for what it gives so many people. The statue gives me great kudos, I guess. But this place is far more important than that. You can tell this is people's lives, I guess, and how much they enjoy it and love it. And we've heard how much people love coming here.
Yeah, yeah.
So to hear that is amazing, you know. And that's why I love coming up here.
You're back in the position that you kind of started your life. You're a Newcastle fan now. It's been a, challenging season, I think it's fair to say. Yeah. I don't know what you thought might well, I've kind of made jokes with you about this before, when you were sort of on the telly before the cup final saying, if Newcastle finally win something, you can die happy, and you're very much not dead. We've kind of all felt a bit grumpy this season, kind of getting used to Newcastle being winners, but sort of wrestling with that a bit. How do you look upon this season?
I always have to pinch myself and be careful of, and I always have to try and remember where we were 10 years ago or 15 years ago or however long it was, and then for us to now get grumpy because we're not beating Liverpool or we're not beating Arsenal or we're not beating Man City and all these clubs who we're now challenging. So I think you always have to pinch yourself in that. But I think also is that once you get to a level where you can compete, then it's no different to whoever you are as an individual. You always want to better yourself, and Newcastle as a team want to do that. But it has been a challenging season in the league. But then I also have to look and think, well, we got to a semi-final, and these 2 weeks we're playing Barcelona twice, Man City, Chelsea, Man United, and then Sunderland. So to have those games is unbelievable. But there's no doubt we're actually a worse team now than we were last year, which is tough.
Yeah.
But I think there are mitigating circumstances for that. But yeah, it definitely has been a challenging season, but it could still be a great season. When you put this out, we might be in the next round of the FA Cup.
You never know, yeah. But it's also Newcastle might be deep in the throes of crisis.
That is very true. It could go either way. And would it be Newcastle, it wouldn't surprise us, would it? It could go either way.
This is a difficult question to answer because I'm not sure how I would answer it if I asked myself. But are you, you know, the fella that turned up 30 years ago, came home, just a sheet metal worker's son from Gosforth. Do you look back on that person and think you're different now? Or are you the same?
How do I put it? I'm
single-minded. You were so single-minded and driven.
Yeah, maybe then. I'm still single-minded and driven, but maybe not as I'm probably not as intense, because when you're playing, it's intense. It's hard because you're in the bubble of trying to win and trying to score and everything else that goes with it. And once you sort of step outside of that, then it is very different. So I'm still the same in terms of me, but I'm probably less intense. Yeah.
You came home and you're still home. What does home mean to you?
That's exactly what it is. It's home. There's no better feeling, I don't think, than being here. I love it here. I mean, despite the weather, it can be shit at times, obviously. But the people are amazing. I think when you've lived down south, and then to come back, you realise how important the people are. You know. Hello. How are you doing? Good. Good.
Morning.
Good result last week. Amazing, eh? Oh, really?
Oh, dear.
I'm surprised he's laughing this morning then.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it always comes back to football, doesn't it?
Always.
Yeah, that's always how it should be.
Happy?
Yeah, very happy.
Thank you, by the way.
No.
Big thank you.
Don't be daft.
Alan remains a hero to thousands, millions of people because of the things he did on a football pitch. Because of the goals and the glory, the way he won matches and saved points for the team he grew up supporting. Because he gave everything, all of the time. But heroes come in different guises, and by dedicating so much of his time and efforts to fundraising, to driving his foundation on, he demonstrates a form of commitment which rivals anything he did in football. 2 decades later, he is still a tough, stubborn bugger. But this is the man Alan is. Goal scorer. Life changer. And the odd photograph here and there is no problem either.
Of course you can.
No problem.
I know you're sick of folk asking
me. I don't. I'm never sick. I get worried when no one asks.
Do you want to do a selfie? Would you like me to take it for you?
If you, I
do a bit of both. Yeah.
Brilliant.
There you go. Very much. Anytime. No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Now how much? Yeah, they really know how much they can talk. The Newcastle absolutely love you the best.
Well, that's very kind. Appreciate that. Thank you. Not bad for a scruffy kid from Gosforth. I try my best. It's nice to give something back. Thank you.
It is, man. You know.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Everybody does.
No, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, you can't get in anywhere. You know, and folks is like probably you probably get sick of 100.
I'd never do.
Honestly,
no. Right. I worry when no one asks. Now I'm on my way out, then, so I'm fine.
No way, Chuck Charlton, Bobby Charlton, we're along
here. Well, that's for two legends. So, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this special pod on the Tyne Extra Tyne. To find out more about the Alan Shearer Centre and to donate to the brilliant foundation which has such a profound impact in Newcastle and beyond, please visit www.alanshearerfoundation.org.uk. That's www.alanshearerfoundation.org.uk.
Really? Newcastle? Yes! We'll see you in a minute, guys.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.